Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives all to your honor and glory. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If only I had seen Jesus' miracles, then I'd believe. If only I had seen Jesus heal people, then I'd believe. If only I had been there to hear him preach, then maybe I would believe. Well, as our gospel reading today from Mark chapter 6 shows us, the people of Jesus' hometown had all of those things, and yet they did not believe. They had all the things that we think we want, but they did not believe in Jesus. But, as we'll see, they later received something life-changing, something that you and I are invited to receive as well, and that changed everything. So if you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. It was in your bulletin, if you'd like to turn there, or you can use the chair, the Bibles under the chair in front of you, or the one that I'm sure you brought with you from home. But if you'd like to use the one under the chair in front of you, it's page 841. Or in your bulletin, but Mark chapter 6. And as we look at this event, when Jesus goes back and visits his hometown, we're going to this morning focus on three essential pieces of that situation that we see in Mark 6. So first, offense. Verse 3 says, "And they took offense at him." When they're faced with Jesus, who he is and what he's been doing and what he's been teaching, they are offended. Now, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, through what he has done for us on the cross and resurrection, the gospel is offensive. Not offensive because it's off color or because it uses four-letter words, but offensive because without God's work in us, without God working on our hearts and lives, because the gospel, without God working in our hearts, when we hear the gospel, when we see the gospel, we realize it brings to light all the bad things in us, our brokenness and fallenness and wretchedness and sinfulness. Now, the gospel is deeply comforting to us when God works in our hearts, when he reveals himself to us so that we can see the beauty and the amazing grace of what he's done for us and what he has saved us from. But unless God works in our hearts, unless God changes our hearts, and he works in our lives, we will find his work offensive. For it calls us sinners, and lost, and dead, and without hope. It says we cannot do this ourselves. We cannot lift ourselves up. It's offensive to us in the way that cancer treatments would be offensive to cancer cells. Tries to kill us so that we can live. The good news of Jesus is hard news for sinners until we have been saved and we can see how truly good it is. But our reading today shows a slightly different sort of offense. It says that the people in Jesus' hometown were offended by him, but they weren't offended that his teaching was hard. They were offended because they thought they knew him. Who does this guy think he is? We know him. We know his family. We know this guy. As the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. Their familiarity with Jesus led them to be offended by him when he did special things and he was treated as something. Jesus had gone around in other towns teaching and doing miraculous things, and word had spread, so when he arrives in his hometown of Nazareth, people have heard what he's been up to. And when they think they know him, they're offended that he's treated as something special. They think they know him, they're so familiar with him that they reject him despite the work that he is doing. So I think about our country here in the 21st century. And just remember, we were never actually founded as a Christian nation. There were some of our founders that were very anti-Christian. But the founders of our nation relied heavily and explicitly on biblical Christian principles, without which our democratic republic never would have worked to begin with, and without which it will not continue to work. But over time, because there has been so much Christian influence in our culture, people have become familiar with Jesus, or at least they think they have. And that familiarity has bred contempt. The Christian gospel, the message of what God has done for us in Jesus in our culture, has become stale because many think they know it already and it just doesn't seem to make any difference. So, parents, how many times have your children acted like they know everything? So much so that when you actually try to teach them something, like parents do, you're met with something condescending like, "I know, Mom." That's never happened in my house, of course, but they think they know, and so they respond accordingly, and they even reject what you have to say, even though perhaps you actually know something different than they do. See, the people of Jesus' time, the people in his hometown in Nazareth, thought they knew him, so they rejected him and they were offended by him. And we have that challenge in our country as well. People think they know Jesus, and they're offended by what they think they know. So, church, we have our work cut out for us. We need to live out the gospel in ways that shock our world. The world needs to see something in us that they do not expect. If they see in us what they think they already know, then they will continue to reject Jesus as irrelevant and untrue. If they see Christians arguing and criticizing, then we're affirming their wrong ideas about Jesus. If we confuse following Jesus with patriotism, not that patriotism is wrong, it's not, but when they see Christians conflate those two things, we affirm their wrong ideas about Jesus. When Christians sin and cover it up or live secret lives that we don't want anyone else to see, then we're affirming their wrong ideas about Jesus. But when they see genuine love for each other, when they see genuine sacrifice that we make for them, when they see a deep commitment to truth in love, maybe what they think they know about Jesus and his followers will begin to change. Offense. People who think they know Jesus were offended by what he said and did. Second, we see here unbelief. There's offense, and that leads to unbelief. Verse 6. And Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. Now, to me, it seems that laying hands on a few sick people and healing them is a mighty work, but apparently Jesus would have done more if they had turned to him instead of away from him. And in the face of his tremendous, miraculous work of healing, they still do not believe in him, and they still do not truly turn to him. So just to understand the scene, it says that he could do no mighty works there except heal a few sick people. It's probably not that he didn't have the power to do it, though there is a place in Scripture that says the power of God was present to heal, meaning perhaps at other times it wasn't. But this is probably less about him not physically being able to heal, but rather that people weren't coming to him, and so he couldn't do his mighty work. Their unbelief kept them from bringing sick people to Jesus. Their unbelief kept them from coming to Jesus to be healed. Their unbelief made them hear some of his words, but not truly turn their hearts and hear deeply. I'll tell you, one of the hardest parts about being a pastor is seeing from a unique position, seeing people's unbelief as they choose not to come to Jesus. I can't tell you how many times as pastors we see people that we know and people that we love, I mean members of the church, choosing not to come to Jesus. Whether somebody says it out loud or not, there's the thinking of, you know, I've heard this before, I don't need to hear it again, or I'm doing pretty well right now, I don't need to to come or worship. Or people come and they listen, at least superficially, but they don't really hear deep down, and it doesn't make a difference in their lives. And it is deeply sad for us as pastors to see that, because that's evidence of this kind of unbelief of the people of Nazareth. Choosing not to come to Jesus, choosing not to worship faithfully, choosing not to pray regularly, that is a sign of unbelief. Unbelief leads us to not bother coming to Jesus. And when we don't come to Jesus, we miss the miracle. Their unbelief caused them not to come to Jesus, and then they missed the miracle. He couldn't do his mighty work among them because their unbelief kept them from coming. See, friends, you and I are invited to lean into Jesus, to come close to him with everything that we've got. And if we want to experience the transformation that comes in him, if we want to experience the salvation that comes from him, then we need to go towards him and not away. If we think we don't need to, if we think we don't need to gather for worship, or we don't need to come to him with our needs in prayer, then we are showing unbelief in our hearts, and we will miss the miracle. Turn to Jesus in faith and lean into him. Don't pull away and live in unbelief, but turn to him and run to him and experience his love and power in faith. We're invited into faith instead of unbelief. And that leads us into this third piece, an encounter. So these people in Nazareth thought they knew who Jesus was, but they didn't really. They had met Jesus, but they had never really encountered him. Their superficial knowledge about Jesus made them think they knew everything that they needed to, but they had not truly encountered Jesus, God incarnate who had come among them. But later, some of them truly did encounter Jesus, and that changed everything. I want to tell you about one of them. So Jesus comes to his hometown, to his family and his acquaintances, and they reject him. A different book in the Bible, the Gospel of John, in chapter 7, specifically mentions that even his own brothers did not believe in him. Can't necessarily blame them. I have an older brother. I can understand perhaps how they feel. But it says that even his own family, his brothers, rejected him. Even these family members that are mentioned here in our reading in Mark 6, even they missed who Jesus truly was. They knew him, but they really didn't know him. But something happened. When Jesus had been crucified and rose again on Easter, after that he began to show himself to people, risen from the dead, to show himself to other people, to appear to them. And in 1 Corinthians 15, a different letter in the Bible, Paul, the author of that letter, talks about specific appearances that Jesus did after he was raised from the dead. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 7, he writes, "Then Jesus appeared to James, and then to all the apostles." James was Jesus' brother. That's the one that's mentioned here in Mark 6. Isn't Jesus the carpenter, the brother of James and the others? James did not believe in Jesus. James was offended by the familiarity with his brother. James did not believe. But then something happened. Jesus, risen from the dead, appeared to his brother James, and that encounter with Jesus changed everything for James. James goes from being the skeptical younger brother to becoming a true disciple and even the first bishop in Jerusalem. Encountering Jesus changes everything. James had no longer just met his brother. Now he had truly encountered him. James no longer had just seen Jesus' miracles. Now his heart was changed. Because encountering the risen Jesus changes everything. So what about you? Have you really encountered Jesus, risen from the dead? Not bodily like James' brother got to, But have you truly encountered Jesus and the Spirit of God that changes you from the inside? Have you experienced the genuine presence and power of Jesus in your life? Now, you may think I'm a little weird for asking a question like that, that it doesn't make sense to you, and I'm absolutely fine with that, but I will say that people who have had this experience know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you encountered Jesus? If you're here today and you feel very familiar with the Christian message, but perhaps you don't resonate with this idea of really encountering him in a way that changes everything, then I'm glad you're here. You're invited to truly know and worship and encounter Jesus today. If you're here today and you have not been leaning into Jesus, either just sort of pulling away, especially in this hard season that we've gone through, or because you've never really come to Jesus in the first place, don't let unbelief keep you from a transforming encounter with Jesus today. He's here, and he invites you to truly know him and to know the forgiveness of sin that's only found in him because of his death on the cross and his resurrection to new life. Don't think that you just know it all already. Don't let unbelief keep you from a transforming encounter with Jesus. Encountering Jesus, risen from the grave, defeating sin and death for us, encountering him changes everything. This is not a self-help program. This is not 12 steps to a better you. This is an invitation to know and encounter the God of heaven who came among us in Jesus Christ to live and die for us, to pay the price of our sin, to adopt us as his beloved children, and to transform us from the inside. Truly encountering Jesus changes everything. So today, I'm going to encourage you, when you come forward to receive communion in a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to really ask to meet with God as you do that. To come forward, I mean, quite literally, with open hands to receive God's work for you. I also want to encourage you, when we get to communion, that little room back there, we call the Gethsemane Chapel, I would encourage you to stop by there, and there will be prayer teams that will be ready to pray with you, to pray that God will meet with you and work in you for his good work, good will, and good pleasure. That you will truly know Jesus, risen from the dead, and that he will meet you in your circumstances. You have the opportunity to encounter Jesus today. So friends, the people of Nazareth were offended because they thought they knew. They showed their unbelief by pulling away from Jesus. But God, in his mercy, comes to us, and we can encounter God and be transformed through him. And an encounter with Jesus changes everything. Amen.